We're going to, the next couple of weeks, we haven't really got anything sort of planned in terms of a preaching agenda, but I've just got a few things just to sort of say before I go. I'm only going for 10 weeks, but I feel like I'm kind of, you know, it feels like I can understand now when Paul writes his letters or in an Acts and you kind of get that kind of sense of him leaving these different churches that he either planted or visited, and he gets to know everybody, and then he's kind of, his heart is wrenched because he's got to go somewhere else, and then he's writing to them or he's saying goodbye to them. And I think there's one time in Acts, isn't there, where he's just sort of tears on the beach kind of thing as he's getting in the boat, that kind of thing. So slight empathy with that at the moment. So I'm going to look in at the book of Ephesians. If God by, we want to turn there to Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to pray first the prayer that ends chapter 3 of Ephesians before we start. So let me pray. I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's my prayer. That's Paul's prayer. That's my prayer. That, I'm going to read now. I'm going to carry on reading in chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, I don't know if you realize this, but the church is not fully grown yet. I'm talking numerically, and I'm talking also spiritually. We haven't reached the fullness of the growth that the Lord would have for us as a church. And in fact, the work of the church, or the growth of the church, is an ongoing thing. It keeps going. And there's never really a time, I think, where we think, okay, the work or the growth of the church is on pause. We're just going to sort of sit at this level of growth and be there, or we'll take a break, or we'll just think to ourselves, we're just simply getting by. If ever church gets to that point and says to itself, we're just happy where we are, we're just kind of going to sit where we are and just chug on, then I think probably it's time to close. I'll be honest. But church is always an ongoing, growing thing. And the image we have here towards the end of that, what I've just read there, is of, it's a bit strange, but it's like Jesus is the head of the church, and there's a body that's growing up to the head. You know. Is there in some book somewhere where people are born at full height? And then they gradually sort of get smaller. I'm sure I have this kind of stories being told to me. I'm not a great literary scholar. There we go. Something like that. I don't know. But it's this kind of strange idea where, we start to grow into something, but in a strange kind of way. But, you know, so this idea that here we are, this small thing underneath the head, but we're growing up almost to sort of fit ourselves onto the top of where the head is, you know. Some of you might remember, I know Sheila remembers this, but I think just after we did the building work here, or in fact, whilst we were doing the building work, we had a visitor come around Christmas time, and she just came once. But she's had a look, Sheila showed her around. She said, because we were just a small church, and we'd done all this building work, and had all these plans. She said, wow, this place is like a school blazer on the first day of term. And she says, I really feel God's going to grow you into it. You know, so all the plans that we had for this building and the refurbishment, there was that idea that it was, you know what kids are like on the first day of school, don't you? You know, they're sort of, it's like scarecrows. So the blazer's about here, and mum and dad are saying, we bought it because this has got to last you for the next 4 years or something. You know, thinking that teenagers grow at sort of 20 centimetres an hour almost. And that was that sense that we're growing into something that's too big for us. It's a bit like that. That's how the church, that image of the church, you know, we're growing up into the head, which is Christ. And we're growing, just like if you're growing, you know, the kid goes off to school and they're going to grow physically, aren't they? They're going to hopefully grow into that blazer, but also they're growing academically. So just Elizabeth just graduated with her first master's, amazing, you know, but when she left here, she was just only had A-levels, you know, but she'd grown into that. She's grown academically. And in the same way that the church, I do believe, is to grow numerically. We've got 100 chairs here. Many of them are still unsat on. But also to grow spiritually. And what we read here is it talks about the unity of the church. This is what it focused on the beginning of that section I just read. It's an ongoing work. I think we get on rather well. I think I said last week or at the church meeting, you know, the way that that feast happens just shows the unity of this church, because there's no hierarchy, there's no people contending, there's no kind of competition. It's just like, we just get on. And if I'm doing the job you normally do, that's fine. You just go and do something else, and people don't worry about this. Is like, you know, in some churches, you know, Margaret would say, that's my chair and I'm going to sit in it, you know. And so if someone comes and sits in some churches, it's like that, isn't it? You've even got the name on the pew. You know, don't you dare sit in my chair. But I don't feel it's like that here. And there is great unity, but there can always be greater unity. Yeah, we can always strive for more of God's love, more of his power drawing us together more and more. So it's not a completed work. And it says here that we've been called to live a life as God's people. You see, Ephesians, we haven't had time to go through the whole book. Maybe we'll do that when we get back. But Ephesians is all about the church. It's not about so much about individual lives. you know, I mean, you can read it and apply to yourself individually, but when you read it, you realize that Paul is definitely talking about the church here when he's giving instructions to the people of God as a group, not just individuals. And equally, he's also saying that the church shouldn't be led by just an individual, and that actually there's corporate ideas to leadership. So he talks about pastors and prophets and apostles and evangelists, and there's a whole sort of group of people or categories of people that he says these are the people that lead and direct the church. But the message to us here is that we have all been called to play an amazing part in building up the church. You know, just as anyone who goes to school, you know, we have many teachers that inspire us, and then you've got the people that are around you to encourage you. And in just in the same way, we are all called to play a crucial and vital role in building up the church into the head. Each one of us. Not just me, not just Keith and Margaret who've been here a long time, or people that like Anu who knows a lot of Bible verses. Not just people. Not, I mean, they have their role, but not just them. But every one of us has a role to play in building up the church. Because that's who we've been called to be. You've been called to do that. Is there anything better to be a part of something to grow the church? And the church, by the way, is where God is working in the world today. Did you know that? He's not working through Tesco, you know, or through the local school or the local hospital. Yeah, he is at work in those places and he does do those things. But where he is manifest and his presence dwells is amongst his people, which is the church, which is you and me here and in the other churches in this town. And you and I have been called, each one of us, to be a part of building that up. It's a pretty good job description. It says in verse 7, to each one, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it, which is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So when Jesus ascended to heaven, part of his enthroning in heaven was that he gave gifts to his people. It says in other translations, where it says here, I don't know which versions you've got here, but in the Church Bible it says he took many captives. The old translation is he took captivity captive. I like that. That's a powerful thing. It means that everything that restricted us before, everything that held us back, all our fears and our worries, all the things that would say to you, oh, well, you're just little old so-and-so, or you're just a nobody, everything that would hinder us has been taken captive. He's taken the things that would captivate us before, and he's taken that captive, and now he's gone up to heaven, and so he's released his gifts to all of us. His going brought the coming of the Holy Spirit. But when he ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came on the church and released powerful gifts. And so I think we need to just grasp that for a moment. You know, let that sink in, because I think sometimes we have the mentality where it's almost like we think, oh, well, just kind of pop down to the garden shed and just pulled out something a bit dusty and a bit cobwebby and it's a bit rusty, and he gave that to me. Yeah, I know he gives the Holy Spirit to the church, but I feel as though I'm not that great. You know, or maybe just Jesus, he went off to Tesco's and, well, for me, what he did for me is he went to the sort of going off fridge and saw what he could get on half price. And, you know, gave me something, just a little bit going off. That's how we feel, because we don't think much of ourselves on the whole. But when you read this, it says to each one, first of all, it says, when Jesus was high and lifted, exalted the highest place in heavens, overcoming death and leading captivity captive, he gave gifts to his people. Those are victory gifts, aren't they? Yeah? This is not defeat gifts. This is the King of Kings coming to his throne and giving gifts. So I want you to sort of picture that those are the kind of things that are received in the church. This is the outcome of the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. So it's not some tacky chintz from the gift shop or some second-hand cast-offs from the charity shops. This is victory gifts from the cross and the resurrection that Jesus gives us. And I think we too often limit God's gift-giving power in us because we think we don't deserve it or we think we're little old me. Hands up who thinks a bit like that. You know, yeah, I'm just, yeah, okay, that's everybody. Yeah. Let me just say what it says here. To each one, grace is given. To each one, grace is given as Christ has apportioned it. Okay, so Christ has apportioned it, but it does say to each one. There's nobody left out in each one, is there? No? There's the definition of each one is everyone. So if you're sitting here thinking, yeah, but it's okay for those people that up front, or those people that have been around a long time and seem to know a lot of stuff, or those people that just seem to have everything fall in their lap, them, but also you, because it's to each and every person. It says to each one, grace is being given. Do we know what that means? That means it's not to do whether you deserve it, it's not to do whether you've earned it, it's not to do with your whether you're good enough, but it is because grace has come on you, which means God's favour, unmerited favour, you don't deserve it favour, but you're going to get it anyway favour, has come on you. Yeah? So to each one, grace has come. So it doesn't matter how many times you've shouted at your kids this morning, or how many times you've kicked the cat, or how many times you've crashed the car, or how many times you've messed up in whatever way, grace has been apportioned to you, each one, as Christ has apportioned it. And this is where we start to think about sort of a get-out clause, because yes, to each one grace has come, and each one it is grace, so I get that, but as Christ apportioned it, I think sometimes he only gives me a little bit and some other people bigger bits, because Christ apportions it. That's what we tend to think. But I don't know about you, but I don't tend to think of Jesus particularly stingy. Do you? No? And even if he was stingy, even if Jesus was stingy, I would imagine that the leftovers of the power of the cross, even if it, I mean, let's, if you could take a crumb of the cross, I don't know how you take a crumb of the cross, or a splinter of the, let's talk about a splinter off the cross, of the power of the cross, that would be enough. If that's all Jesus gave, if he was feeling, oh, well, I'm only going to give Alan this little bit of the cross, you know, it would be enough to completely sanctify him. Even if it was the smallest part of the resurrection power of Jesus. We're talking about the power of God to rise Jesus from the dead. Even if we just had like a drop of that, that is like rocket fuel. That is enough. Even if it was just the least bit of his ascension authority, it would be enough, wouldn't it, to overcome everything. So even if Jesus was stingy, when he gives gifts to everybody, when he apportions that grace, it would be enough. So I'm saying even if he was, but I now want to say I don't think he is stingy. So we're not talking about splinters and drops and little crumbs. The Father knows how to give good gifts to his children, doesn't he? Didn't it say that in King Luke and somewhere else? You know, if you ask for anything, he'll give you the Holy Spirit. And he's given everything you need so that the church may be built up. And the gifts are given for the unity and the building up of the church. Not for you to look good about great or doing amazing for yourself, but to primarily to build up the church. And the church grows best when each person is using their gifts. And so I just want to encourage you. I'm not going to be around for 10 weeks. And I've realized as I've written out all the things I do quite a lot of stuff. You would expect that, and that's fine. But I'm not going to be around to do some of those things. And this is a great opportunity for the church to be the church and to grow into the head. In fact, I'm really excited that when I get back, I'm thinking, oh, you've grown up. that we've grown into our blazer a bit. Yeah? Because, you know, when usually mum sort of sews the end of the blazer in, doesn't it? So that when they've grown a bit, then you see the sort of marks, the sort of iron marks, the where it's been. She's laughing because she's done that. How many folds can you get out of this one blazer? You know, how many times have you done that? And then you take a little bit out and then you iron it again, but it never really comes out. And then there's the sort of the dirt marks that then sort of, all of that. But that's a good sign. That's a sign of growth. I'm looking forward to seeing that. And so I have, what I want to do this morning to finish with is I want to just speak, I would call these pastoral words for everyone. These are not prophetic words, okay? So don't think I've prayed. I have prayed, but I haven't prayed loads and loads and felt God saying this about. There may be some prophecy in there, but I just allow the Holy Spirit to fill it. But these are just my pastoral observations about your gifts. There's a lot of you here this morning, so I can get through this quite quickly. But I want you as individuals to know where I have seen you and the gifts you have. But also I want the church to see that the rest of the church may not have seen this. So I want to affirm it, and I also want to sort of announce it for the rest of the church. Ryan's getting a pen out. It's being recorded, right? Yes, sir. No, that's fine. I'll start with you as you've got your pen out. Where I've got a list here. Okay. No, it's fine. So, Bryony, you have a prophetic voice. I think we know that, but I think be confident to use it. Don't be shy. I think sometimes you think, am I okay to do this? And if that's the case, just get on and do it. You're great at getting alongside people. Brian has this ability of just being able to just start a conversation with a tree, you know what I mean? And you'd think they're there chatting there. Like, she could just talk to anybody. I mean, you know, not true. You know, you just have a really good gift of just being able to get alongside people. You facilitate other people sharing stuff. When we get together, you're really good at just not just starting a conversation, but actually then saying, come on, let's share how you're feeling. But be confident in that. You're good at it. You have a real concern for others. Great hospitality. I won't mention the cake making, but that's. So those are, you know, that's Brian. Those are some of those gifts. And they build the church. They build the church. Right, I'm going to go because I have, where have we got to? Sheila, you're here. Sheila is an evangelist. Give her the opportunity. She, you know, like England, Harry Kane, give him a chance and he'll score a goal. Yeah. Maybe Gary Lineker back in the old days. But give Sheila an opportunity and she will start preaching the gospel to people. And that's not everyone's gift. I'm not very good at that. I had a great opportunity at Margaret's funeral. Somebody asked me something and I gave them a really good answer. But what Sheila would have done, would have given them the answer and then taken it further and asked them a question and said, well, where are you at with the Lord and how are you? She's great at that. So go for it. Really. You know, it says here there are prophets, apostles and evangelists. You are definitely an evangelist. Amongst other things. You're a teacher. Very good teacher. She's very direct. She doesn't mess about. She'll tell you when a spade is a spade. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You're a mother and an affirmer. And you may be surprised by this. I think you inject energy and pace into anything you come along to. You bring energy to something. So you may think at your age that doesn't happen, you know, with your back and all that kind of thing. But there is something about when you're there in a situation where the job club or whatever, the energy levels rise. So, yeah, thank you. Adam, I didn't write anything down for you, but you're a great lad. and just your faith is inspiring. So, and we're blessed. When you turn up and from time to time and knowing that our history with you and stuff, it's a real blessing to the church. So that is a gift to us. So even if you come once a year or even once every 10 years, it blesses us, doesn't it, when Adam's around. So thank you. Cherry is a real pastor. I don't know if you've noticed. And what I mean by that is she, you are here. She has a real heart for pastoral care. She, again, gets alongside people, but really knows what's going on in their life and just has a heart for people. And and knows how to care, and people really respect you. I don't know if you realize this, but people really do respect you and your wisdom, your listening. So it's great and a real blessing to the church. And there's also that prophetic edge that's developing as well. So I'd say be bold, you know, let these things spark off one another. And even also check them out, because I think if you have a prophetic thing, go to the other prophets in the church. Say, I'm hearing this. What do you think about it? Pray about it. And let's push into that. And also with your healing, your faithfulness to pray for healing is also a gift. So push on in that. Shari, you're another carer. You really care for people, really sensitive. I think you're really sensitive to other people's needs. And that, believe it or not, is quite unusual. So that's a gift. We appreciate that. I think one of your key characteristics is you've got this ability to express the full range of emotions and help others to do that. So you can go from joy to tears, and you've got the whole lot there. And so most people, we're quite English. Maybe it's because we're a lot of it's English and reserved. But you just have this beautiful ability to be laughing one moment and to be crying another, and that actually helps us, because I think sometimes we don't know how to do a lot of that stuff. So that's a gift. There's a lot of faith in you, and there's a lot of wisdom and truth, and so keep speaking those things out. I mean, I think the other night when we had our meeting, we had some really wise things to contribute, so don't stop being wise. Sky. Yes, Sky. I'm guessing you're not going to be around for much longer. You're the next one to go off and follow Liam and Matt and Elizabeth. And I think God is going to be opening up just a whole new horizon. This is, I suppose, just a whole new horizon for you, particularly leaving home, which will be tricky. But I think there's a lot of creativity and talent in you that we have not seen, unfortunately. But I think wherever you end up, the church and university, that talent is there to be sort of like crack the egg open and let's see what's inside. There's a lot of stuff that you will bless wherever you go. You will be a blessing in that. So don't be shy about it. Don't be shy about it. Alan is very funny. I don't know if you know this. Have a conversation with him. He's hilarious. I won't tell you about some of the stories. The most recent thing I've been laughing about, these two, they can tell you later. They've got a great sense of humor. There's a great gentleness about you, and you have a real father's heart. I can tell that with your family, and I think that would benefit more of that. Just find ways of being a father in the church, because you have a real father's heart. You're selfless, and you serve. And you do it with such a light and easy manner, and it's a real blessing. And I think that benefits the church too. So, yeah. Am I alright to keep going? You're alright to stick around for a bit? Yeah. Ada, obviously, we've seen... Do you know what? When I first started here, that thing would come every Sunday to be like, now it's time to finish the sermon, because it would be just about this time, like, time to finish. She's always coming at 12. I haven't been here for a few years. It's a new gig. Do you want to rush out? I've got a bit of time before I get to you, Keith, if you want to go and pop out again. Yes. Real blessing with the guitar and your worship. And when we got together, some of you won't know this, but we got together just last week or a week before. We Shari and... It's like on my brain so fried. And I think I realised you play really well, but you're kind of like, should I be playing this? Yes, you should. Yes, you should definitely be playing this, and play it out, and let us hear that. And I think that speaks of who you are as well. There's a lot inside you that we benefit from, and that's the thing with all these things. We benefit when you do what you do, and that really is true for you. And I think particularly for you. We don't see you as young anymore. Sorry. You can't hide under, in fact, both of you, you can't hide under being kids anymore. Because I looked at a picture when I first got here, and you're the same size as Daniel. Not Daniel, as James. You're the same size as Daniel. But we don't see you like that anymore. You're kind of adult. Sorry. So there comes responsibility as well as benefits to that. So yeah, go for it. Margaret. Obviously, your welcome is invaluable to the church, and we all really appreciate that. Everyone does, you know. That, in fact, so much so that we have to drag them out the hallway to start sometimes. And you are a real mother figure in this church. Everyone looks up to you. You're a pillar of people. And I don't think you realise that. You don't realise the influence you have. You don't realise that when you speak, people listen, for instance. And I think, particularly for you, just to encourage you, it's not so much about the doing. Because I think in times gone by, you could, like you were saying to Emma the other day, I used to be able to do the catering or whatever. But it's about for you particularly, it's about the being. People just like being with you and like just having, just let me talk to Mark. And so we just have to be there, you know, and that, in that, there is that that presence which just brings stability to all of us. So there's a pillar in you. But also, I want to say there is a prophetic voice in you too. It comes out from time to time. And again, don't be afraid to speak it, and speak it with confidence, because people do listen when you speak. So be affirmed in that. Pinto, lovely to have you with us, and I'm sad you're only here for a few months, but there you go, you do live in a different country, so that's fair enough. But just in the short time you've been here, just love your faith and your smile, and just, yeah, you're just another person who just, when you, it's just, you're nice, good to be around. So I don't know you that well, so I can't say too much about you, but we really do appreciate you with us, and your faith, as I say, is inspiring. Thank you. Right, who we got around the corner now? Julie, nearly done. Only got one line. A bit to go. Julia. You're good at sorting tea sets. Well, that was a new one. I wrote this before I knew that, so that you can add that to your list. I think, Julie, you are a real prayer. And when you pray, particularly when you pray out loud, it is often very profound and very eloquent as well. Not that prayers have to be eloquent. I mean, sometimes we say a whole load of jumble, don't we? But when you do pray, oftentimes it's very eloquent. But not only that, it is very profound, because I think you think and you see things in a deep way. And so when it comes out, they're deep prayers. So I would encourage you to keep praying. And also, obviously, you pray, we all pray on our own, but to pray out, you know, because when we pray out, and when we speak out, this goes to anybody, it blesses everybody else. Because we can't say amen if it hasn't, there's nothing to say amen to, if that makes sense. So please go for it. You are very caring and you're very thoughtful, and that's appreciated, really appreciated. And I know you take a lot of time over thinking over caring for people. So, and also, you're really, I mean, as demonstrated the other day, really helpful when it comes to, if I say, you know, can you do this? And yeah, and off you go, sorting out tea sets, for instance. You know, there's not kind of like, oh, because some people, like me, I was looking at those tea sets. Where do you start? You know, you just got on with it. So, yeah, that's a blessing to the church. And I want to say to you, never doubt, this is more, just an affirmation, never doubt your place in this church. Never doubt that you're part of this. And never doubt that you have a contribution to play in those kind of things and others. I mean, by the way, all of this is not a conclusive list for anybody. This is just a few thoughts, a lot of observations I have of people, but what I see from day to day. But never doubt your place in the church. In all of this, I'm not worrying about stuff. Yes, doing what you can do. It's like I said to Margaret, you know, this is a different thing. In years gone by, Margaret used to be running around doing all kinds of things. But just at the moment, this is where, you know, just being is more important than doing. Mary rather than Martha. coming back to what was spoken at the weekend. Dennis has a real evangelistic heart. I don't know if you know that. He's always thinking about how we get reach those people out there. And Dennis also has a lot of ideas. And I would say, take those ideas. Some of them are, because you have so many ideas sometimes, it's like, okay, well, we can only do so many of these things, or maybe one or two of these things. But when God gives you an idea, I would say, throw yourself into it. And people will follow if you lead it. Because there's some good ideas. And like with all of us, some of us have okay ideas and some have very good ideas. So, you know, learn, I suppose, to sense when those ideas are good and really go for it, you know. Dennis also is a real prayer and has a heart for prayer. But I think the main thing is just to grow in confidence in when you have an idea from the Lord, to walk in it and to go with it. And it blesses people when that happens. The stuff you do with computers is great, and please do not think that's a backroom unimportant thing. If once the computers are working well, then it just saves everything else a body a headache. Like this morning, for instance, Keith said to me, the mouse isn't working on the computer, and so he asked me. And of course, Chris is another computer person, but I was like, turn it off and turn it on again, and it worked. But you know, for some people, that's a real headache. I could see for Keith, it was like a kind of, oh no, kind of moment. But for you, you can just deal with that kind of stuff, and it does bless the church when things are running smoothly. So don't think that it's just an unimportant thing. John. Now, obviously, I don't know John and you, Rose, as well. But what I want to say to you is similar, that you are part of us. Now, particularly now, you're members, you are really part of this church and really part of the family. And so don't feel shy about how you might be able to bless us and how you might be able to sort of contribute. You know, you're allowed to put your feet up on the chairs if that's how this is your home, you know, sort of relax, you know. Where are you? Here. John, I've noticed that you're just a very gentle, very humble guy, and that is a blessing to us. Because I think when you're the kind of person, when you're around you, it's just kind of it's easy. So continue to be gentle, continue to be humble. I noticed also that you are someone who has a care for other people, so like your neighbours, for instance, and people, and there's a real heart to pray for them. And I would say develop that, and pray for these guys as well. You know, because I think you see stuff. And you might think, well, what can I do? Well, you can pray and really grow in that. Go for that. Rose, you're a real servant, I'm detecting from my observations of you. So, and have great faith. And I think sometimes with faith, if we hold it in, it's fine for us. But I think people need to be encouraged by faith. So it might just be a case of you saying, no, God is able to do this. And that will encourage other people, because sometimes, again, we can be, you know, this is not going to work, or we can't do this. But if you feel particularly that God is saying, let's just speak faith, speak up and just say, I remember actually when John, you first came, there was a time something happened and people gathered and I wasn't around. But somebody told me afterwards, this is when John was new, you just said, let's pray. And there was a moment of faith that if we pray, this will be sorted. And I think you're the kind of person, you might need to just raise your hand up and say, hang on a second, stop panicking, everyone. Let's hear what God, let's be faithful and speak faith into it. Anu, you are a very caring person as well, very sensitive. You really have a sensitivity to people and where they're at and what they need. And I would say it's kind of a pastoral care. So don't be afraid of being that. that, you're growing into that. I think a lot of things, the other thing that is just standout thing is your Bible knowledge is second to none. I think, yeah, and you don't even realize that, but everybody else, in fact, I've said this to Jerry, if you ask me a Bible verse, I Google it, but you could, the quicker thing than Google is Anus. You may not realize, but that is a real blessing, because people can come to you and I think there's the potential to be a great teacher as a result from that. And you probably don't realize that. But whether it's with your own children or with the people around you in church, use that gift. It's not there just stored as knowledge on a database in your brain. But there's a reason why God has given you, because not all of us can do that, can we? You know, I know Margaret, for instance, you're like me. We just don't learn verses very easily, do we? And yeah, you have to kind of look. You have to look it up before we know. Oh, no, it's there. We both know it's there, don't we? We both know that Jesus said so and so. But you tell me where it is. I have no idea. But you can just go, oh yeah, that's Matthew 4:33 or whatever. And you know, maybe not. I'm not going to. She's going to think, oh, now I've got to learn it all now. But I think what you do have, God has given you for a reason, and it's to help us. And to help the church, so use that. And you also don't doubt your place in the church. You know, you're a valuable, equal member of the church, and not you're not you. You know, very much part of the church. John is one of the most generous person I've ever met, and with great faith. And great care. And two things that I think are really particularly very John for this church is you're a great one for getting up and speaking testimonies, which is a real blessing. And I think follow his example, everybody, because, you know, whether it's something through work or whatever, John will give up and say, God has done this. And that is important. We learn how to do that. So lead us in that. Continue to do that. And the other thing that this is a very unique thing. I think John is a real poet in the sense that he has the ability, or a parable sayer, shall I say, is the ability to take a whole biblical concept and then put it into a one-liner. There's not many people. Bill Johnson's very good at that kind of thing, if you know Bill Johnson. But so, for instance, when you preached, you said, the last day of our lives is the, I can't even, you said it better, but the best day of our lives is our last day, because then we will go and see the Lord. Which was really helpful for me when Margaret died, because that came to my mind straight away. You know that. So you're very good at putting these things into a one-liner. Anu's agreeing; she knows you well, so I've seen that. So keep doing that. You can write a little book, just it'd be a short book, but you could pack 100 sayings into like 3 pages, and you could have could be a bestseller. Reg, where do we start? Where do we start with Reg? Obviously, we know about your heart for the poor, but we don't take it for granted, because I think it is vital. And you minister Christ to the needy. You're one of our outstretched hands in the community to the needy, and. That's a real blessing for us as a church, to have somebody that is willing to do that. And you are a real servant as well. If there's anything that needs to be done, Reg doesn't say, oh, I can't, I haven't got time. It just gets done. And you're a real servant, tireless. Reg's taking on doing the gardening, and the grass and everything. A real servant. Very gentle, very patient. If you want to learn patience, hang around with Reg. How many arguments did you say you had at work in the 40 or 50 years you've been? And I don't doubt it, you know, because there's nothing really that rattles, not much that rattles Reggie. You really have to poke him in the eye quite hard before he gets wound up. But I also think you're an evangelist as well. You have a real heart for bringing people in. And we value that. So go for it. Right, 2 more. Certainly you can't escape, you 2 in the corner. Keith is another complete and utter servant. Where have you gone here, Keith? There's so much that gets done that nobody really knows gets done because it just gets done by Keith, you know. Whether it's being able to dry your hands after using the loo or putting stuff in the bin and you can get it in, unlike in our house where you're kind of pushing down the bins, nobody takes it out. The bins are always empty because Keith does it. He's a real servant, really faithful. A real prayer as well, and we'll pray for you. If you have something, is the kind of person you're. It's a real blessing actually to have some. If you say something like, "Oh, I don't know, with a hard week, or I've got this coming up or that coming up," he'll just put his arm around you and he'll pray. So if you need prayer, he's a good guy to go to. You are a speaker of truth, and I think sometimes you hold back when actually you just need to say, this is what the Lord says through the scriptures. You know, you also know your scriptures well. I don't know whether you've got the same kind of indexing that Anu has, but you know your scriptures well. And I think you need to just say sometimes, this is true, whatever it is, in whatever situation. And also you have a heart for healing as well. And I pray for everybody here. There's several of us. This is a gift that God has given. I've got a heart for healing. We haven't seen much healing. We have seen some, but I would say just keep going with it. Keep praying for healing. And finally, Chris. I'll do a few more next week if people aren't here. But Chris, last one. Chris is... Now, you may think this is a bit boring, but this is so important. Chris is Mr. Detail. He is so detailed, he will look at something and if there is one single full stop out of place in something, he will spot it and he will make sure it's corrected. And it is so valuable, like things that we have with the FIC in the past, over the many years as well, counts, obviously. Stuff I know you've done at work as well. I think there are many people that would have got a rough deal at work. But that kind of stuff is a real benefit to the church. And again, it's a bit like Dennis with the computers. You may think, well, that's just a bit boring, a bit back room. But it is really blesses us and makes things run a lot smoother. And going alongside that, meticulous in everything. And really faithful. You're just, I know you're there. And you're one of those kind of people that when I have a question about something, I think, I'll ask Chris, you know, or I'll just see what, because you're faithful and you're dependable, and that church doesn't work if there aren't dependable, faithful people. So that's a real blessing. Another sort of a pillar, it's one of those pillar things. Right, done. Now I'll have to remember who was here this week, otherwise I'm going to repeat myself next week. Most of you are here today, so there's just a few to finish off tomorrow. I've said all that because I think it's important that you know who I see you. I may not have said some of that before, but I think it's important the church knows that. But that's not a conclusive list. If you think, I also think Margaret is good at this, or I think Cherry is amazing at this, or John has a gift for this, then tell them, because that helps people to grow in those things. And then together we grow into that blazer. And we iron out the cuffs. And we become the church that God wants us to be. Right, let me pray. Then we're going to have some cakes, because there's quite a lot left, isn't there, Reg? Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for every single one of these people here today. And I want to pray that each of us would know that to each one, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it to strengthen and to build up this church, and that we all have an exciting and important and invaluable role in this church. None of us is the same. We're like those hands, the fingers that we looked at earlier. Each of us has an individual fingerprint and characteristic. But I pray, let people just flourish in who they are and being who they are and who you've made them to be in this church, so that we may grow up into Christ. Help us encourage one another and grow in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, go and be church.